What's up, Greg?
Hey Matt, what's going on?
Walking along.
Getting your steps done.
Get them in. Get them in.
Hey Des, Cody, Al, how's everything going?
Great.
Good.
All good. How are you, Greg?
Good, thanks very much.
Good, Greg. How are you?
Good, Des. Staying up late again?
Yeah, another white one.
Andrew, nice to see you again, brother. Thompson? Dale, you all right, brother?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Excellent. Hey, while we're waiting for everybody to jump on, what do you know about the heck are they called? Exertion headaches. Last night I was just like somebody hit me with a sledgehammer.
Is that the first time you've ever had it?
Yeah.
I wish we had one of our chiropractors on. So I know a lot of the time it can be tension around the neck, upper
Yeah.
back can be an issue with tension headaches or exertion headaches. So headaches with exertion, that's going to annoy me. I'll get back to you on that, Dale. Is that okay?
Yeah, no problem. I sent a message to Gavin this morning, but I haven't heard back, but I'm sure he'll come back with something.
I think he's currently in Amsterdam, isn't he? I think.
He was driving back, I think, today.
What was he?
So
Coach Andrew.
I did a Zoom call with him yesterday morning. He was in Italy, I think is what he said.
Italy, and then I'm sure it was his wife's 40th, so I think he's in Amsterdam now for a couple of days. I think he gets back. Is today? I think back Friday.
Bouncing all over the place.
I think. Dr. Mo, how are we?
Coach Greg.
Okay, bud.
Doing well, how are you?
Good, thank you. Anybody got any announcements that they want to make? Any major wins over the last week that they want to tell the rest of the group? Andrew, you want to call anybody out?
Yeah, I mean, guys in general are doing pretty well. Specifically, shoot, man. I mean, nothing immediately comes to mind. I'm getting my desk sorted from all my little ones putting the stuff on the desk, and having two little girls and a younger boy. I just find random stuff on the desk all over the place. So everyone's doing well, but Seth would be a good one. Seth, my guy that's in Oregon. We tested pull-ups. I'm not even sure when at this point, and then we retested and did five extra pull-ups, so he's getting stronger. It's always cool to see like when you retest stuff and it's a pretty significant jump. So doing good.
Nice. Okay, so a couple of announcements before we start, gents. Just to let you guys know that the second week of Costa Rica will be announced tomorrow. So you guys will have dates, you guys will have prices of what that looks like. So for any of you guys who put your name down for it initially, go ahead, you'll be able to actually put down a deposit or a payment on that starting tomorrow, I've been told. I don't think anybody was here last year, not that I can see. Great experience. So if you want to get on the waiting list, let any of us know and we can get that sorted for you. Matt, if you're there, you have the link, and you can chuck it in the chat for us. Also, we're making a transition at the end of this week. So our Telegram group is going to get moved over to WhatsApp going forward. Just tends to be a little bit better interaction. It allows us to have side groups in there for any specific issues that some people may be experiencing. So it's extremely beneficial. And I just want to talk to you guys about like what I suppose what my three biggest takeaways were from Costa Rica last year. I know you guys might just think of it as just a training camp. And it is, right? Like, so there is 3 days of absolutely gruesome, amazing training. It'll push you to a different limit than you've ever thought you could experience yourself. But a few other things. It's getting put in a room with 30 to 40 men, all of extremely similar mindsets and predominantly growth mindsets, right? So it's a situation where you'll be around people who are striving for the same stuff you are, even in fitness, in business, whatever it may be. And it's extremely, it's an amazing group to be around. You will come away from that trip with a whole new experience and a whole new mindset coming out of it. Now, keeping that mindset is another thing, but what I noticed from Marbella is that we've kept a private WhatsApp group, and it's still extremely active. I know that Thompson was in Marbella with us, and he had an amazing time. Thompson, do you want to say anything about Marbella?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I was one of the smallest people in the group, but the guys looked after me very well. I actually had been focusing a lot on yoga before the retreat, and I was not very confident because I had a couple of injuries before, but really got back into it very quickly within the first 1 or 2 days. Really kind of got back to the strength pre-injury very quickly because the focus on form and everything. And the guys were really amazing.
Thanks, Thompson. Matt, you were there as well. Can you give any feedback on your experience while you were there?
Yeah, I was physically challenging, demanding, almost scary to get started the first couple of days. I walked out of there feeling like fucking 4 feet taller and way fitter and way more focused. I had some back issues that troubled me. I know they had to sit down on some stuff. I didn't feel like there was any judgment. I think it was just a great group of guys encouraging us all to be our best selves.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And that's what you'll find in these groups, man. Like there's a huge variety in terms of capability with weightlifting, but nobody gets left behind in the group. And I think you'll all take a lot from it if you do manage to make your way out to Costa Rica. And also, if you've never been, I'd never been before last year. I would live there quite comfortably if I was able to get away from my wife and son, but I don't think that's something I can sacrifice just for that. All right, guys. So wasn't hold on, someone's just coming in. So I know any of you guys who were on with me last week, I know we discussed metabolic syndrome, and we were going to talk about like what like Peter Attia kind of coined the idea of like the four horsemen. So the four major diseases of Western civilization that are most likely going to take us off this earth as men. And I was going to go through all four of those over the next 4 months. Now, I didn't have time to put together a proper presentation for one of those for this week. But what I wanted to go through was something that tends to underlie all of them. And it's something that you guys probably hear everywhere if you're ever flicking through Instagram, TikTok, anything that or anything that's where they speak about fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle. And one of the major things that always pops up is inflammation. And it's always thought of as this really bad thing, and I don't want to put it across that way when we go through this discussion. In acute amounts is a very positive thing. It allows us to adapt to whatever the stimulus was. So when we train with really heavy weights, we'll get some sort of inflammatory response, and I guess you could call that what they call like a hormetic response. So something that we can adapt to and become stronger afterwards. Similar if we get respond if we get exposed to something like coronavirus is a classic one. The first time we deal with that, our adaptive immune system learns the pattern of it. Therefore, next time we get it, therefore we should be able to deal with it a lot easier. So in a what I'm talking about today is going to be chronic inflammation. So but people who have unresponsive depression is a classic one. People who have joint pain, people who have anxiety, people who have swelling throughout the body. These can be perceived as more of chronic inflammatory issues that we're going to try and dig into a little bit today and give you a good idea of what it is, signs to look for in yourself or the people around you, and ways that you can resolve those problems. Because that is the major issue when it comes to something like inflammation. It's not the inflammation itself, it's the lack of resolution of that inflammation. So let's get started. Ask questions throughout, by all means. I will stop where we need to. And then any questions you guys have, it can be on anything. So like at the end of this, we don't necessarily have to discuss inflammation. We can discuss anything nutritionally. We can discuss anything training, mindset wise. We're more than happy to go through whatever you want. So I briefed it by just saying this is a look at chronic, long-term systemic inflammation that tends to occur in a lot of people and is one of the underlying problems with any disease of metabolism. So when we look at the standard four horsemen, so whether that's cancer, type 2 diabetes, cognitive decline, or cardiovascular disease, right? Like I said, the stuff that's most likely going to take us off this earth. Inflammation or chronic smoldering low-grade inflammation is always at the center of that. So I wanted to teach you guys today what it actually is, because we hear about it so much and we don't, predominantly we don't know how it starts. We don't know how it finishes. We just hear about this so-called bad thing. So I want to teach you guys how it occurs briefly. And it's important to remember the immune system is always intertwined with some sort of inflammatory response, whether it's the immune system causing inflammation, whether it's inflammation causing an activation of the immune system, right? I didn't finish that second line. How does the cytokine storm occur? So this was really coined or became mainstream when people were speaking about COVID, and they had this cytokine storm that they spoke about, this like broad reaching inflammation that just occurs systemically. So we'll discuss that briefly. We'll talk about endogenous versus exogenous triggers. Fancy words, all endogenous means is inside your body. Exogenous means outside of your body. The stuff that happens outside your body will inevitably affect what happens within. Okay, it's important to remember that as well. But there's going to be some stuff in here that you guys may not have thought of. So if you guys are really struggling to recover, if you're struggling to sleep, if you're recovering, or if you're struggling with mental health, and like I said, if there's swelling, any of those issues, then it may be just that you have low-grade inflammation. Then we'll talk about how to bring about resolution. And I use the word resolution purposefully because it is technically what it's called, the resolution of inflammation. So without taking you too much into immune health, because it's extremely difficult, first of all, to learn, never mind try to explain it to someone else. But if you look at the very top, so the red part is the bloodstream. When we look at the bottom part, it's the lymphatic system, right? So you've got the blood, you've got the bloodstream that brings things, whether that's oxygen, whether that's immune cells throughout the body. And then you can look at the bottom at the lymphatic system, and that basically just removes everything from circulation after it's been dealt with or the problem has been dealt with. But in the middle is just tissue, right? And when we're at homeostasis, when we're at a normal functioning level, we have what are called fibroblasts and neutrophils, and these are just surveying. So they're looking for problems in order to try and solve them or try and catch them early before they become systemic or they become chronic. So at this stage, we're in a lovely homeostatic state where nothing is going particularly wrong. And then floating at the top, you have what are called monocytes, right? And then what occurs inevitably or will happen at some stage. Thanks for that, Thompson. That's really helpful. Is you'll get a trigger. And don't look too much into the acronym of these, right? So you've got the first one, which is damage-associated molecular pattern. Second one is pathogen-associated molecular pattern. Don't worry about it. Think about the first letter on those. Damage or pathogen. Something will happen to that tissue, whether it's damaged, whether you get punched, whether you get hit by a car, whether you fall down, whether you do too much training, you will get damage within that tissue. Similar pathogen, bacteria, virus, parasite, whatever it is, will come in and it will, and then the body will signal, right? So this is a lot of stuff happening. Once fibroblasts, neutrophils will signal to the bloodstream to tell these monocytes to become macrophages, to come into the tissue and phagocytize whatever it is. But phagocytize basically just means eat it, right? When this happens, really natural process that is occurring a lot of the time throughout our lifespan. Now, but when this happens, the clock switches on. We have a certain amount of time to remove these macrophages into the lymphatic system and get them out of circulation, right? Because if these hang around for too long, they'll go through cell necrosis, which means they'll split open. Everything inside that cell will leave. All their little enzymes that kill the bacteria will leak out into the tissue and cause more damage, more damage, more damage, cause more immune influx. And then you just get this cycle that continually occurs for a lot of people, right? So they don't solve the problem quick enough. They don't get this stuff out of circulation, and therefore problems just continue to occur over time. Now, interestingly, you'll see two things, and they're very aptly named. There's not much imagination put into them. You have these things called resolvins and protectins. They signal to the immune system. They signal to these molecules outside, we're done. Everything is resolved. We've had resolution. Stop sending in immune cells. These are generally what are found in, or like the byproducts of omega-3 fatty acids. So when you hear people talk about that balance between omega-3 and omega-6 being so important, this is one of the reasons why. So we have like omega-6, which is this PGE2, prostaglandin series 2, that signals inflammation. We have this problem. We need to solve it. We need to get it out. We need to get this problem dealt with. And then you have resolvins and protectins that will signal that it's over. This is a real natural process that occurs for everybody. But the problem is the time runs out for most people. They don't have enough things, or they don't have enough hardware to resolve the problem. And then it tends to become a chronic issue. This can come, excuse me, from a lot of different avenues, which I'll discuss a little bit later. And like I said, this leads to this beautiful resolution of inflammation, how it all should happen perfectly in an ideal world. As we know, we do not live in an ideal world anymore. There are so many inflammatory triggers out there. And for want of trying to scare you guys, our ability to be able to deal with these situations is going to be integral to our long-term health. Okay? So in a real simple way, that's where it works well. And that's what it should look like, right? Some sort of infection, damage, whatever it is, should happen. We should get inflammation, and then we should get immune suppression. We should resolve the problem and everything goes back to normal. Beautiful. That's how it should be done on paper. It's not what tends to happen for people who are chronically ill or who have, and don't necessarily have to be chronically ill, but people who overtrain is a classical one. But for people who have some sort of underlying issue that they haven't resolved. And this is what it looks like then. So you get an infection or damage, and you get this massive influx of inflammation, an overzealous immune system, and then we don't have those resolvins and protectants to solve it at the end. So it just continues. And this is when people don't recover well from training. This is from people that you hear, because for most of us, when we train, unless we absolutely crush ourselves, we tend to feel good afterwards. But what you'll see in some people is when they train, they fall apart afterwards. They feel fatigued. They need a nap. This is a sign of an overzealous immune system, increased inflammation, or not enough reactive or not enough antioxidants within the body. And this is how people get stuck in that cycle of, like I spoke about before, you get that influx, you get damage, breaks open, we get more damage, more immune response, and it just continues to go and go. Okay, so the problem becomes systemic inevitably. And this is where stuff can get quite scary, because people will look at something like this and think, what are the endogenous things that tend to cause issues around inflammation, right? And there's so much stuff I didn't put in there, but these are the dominant ones that tend to come up. Now, you don't have to look at all of these things, right? Most of you as men won't be dealing with hypothyroidism. Most of you guys won't have advanced glycated end products or type 2 diabetes, right? These aren't necessarily going to be issues with you, but there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people you know, maybe it's you, who have a lot of visceral fat. And we'll talk about fat in a little bit. A lot of you guys at stages in your lives, maybe you still do it now, drank too much alcohol, so you've got paired biotransformation or detoxification. You might have too much insulin or too high blood sugar, right? You might have low muscle mass, which is a big one, guys. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But like, if you're under muscled, you are lining yourself up for chronic inflammation. All right. And then a lot of you, or a lot of people, I should say, have like stuff like dysbiosis and intestinal permeability and all these problems with their gut that lead to low grade inflammation. Okay, so it's important to understand that there can be loads of things that can lead to inflammation over time. Okay, it's not just the traditional things of overeating and undermoving, although they play big roles. Now, the vitamin D deficiency you can see there is, I look at a lot of blood tests very often, and vitamin D deficiency is very common. And something that's normally easily solved, but if you don't know about it, it's hard to tell, right? There's no clear symptoms of vitamin D deficiency until you get super duper low and you end up with stuff like rickets when you see them in kids. Now, what are the exogenous? So, what are the things that are causing all these issues within our body? Dietary issues to dietary protein. Just don't even think about dietary protein. Think about it as processed food. Processed food is causing so much of these issues. So whether that's liver, gut, cardiovascular system, whether that's blood sugar and HbA1c, like that is a major, major issue. When we accumulate, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, when we accumulate visceral fat, that creates its own little immune system that causes this issue to perpetuate over time. And then some of the more, I think of these as slightly more scary things because it's hard for us to avoid. But environmental inflammasome or environmental triggers are becoming more and more of an issue for us. Because especially those of us who live in big cities, highly populated cities, the pollution is increasing and we are suffering because of that. So like a lot of us get stuck in cars, particularly you guys in the States, you get stuck in cars for long periods of time, stuck in traffic behind exhausts for hours in a day. That's a real problem. Now, okay, we need solutions to that, right? We possibly can't remove ourselves from that situation, but we can look at the environment in the rooms that we spend the most time in. So whether that's bedroom or the place where you work, using HEPA filters or air filters can be really beneficial here, right? Ingested chemicals. What the most common one for the majority of us is going to be stuff like BPA from plastics. It's a pretty big deal now as well that we are exposing ourselves to a lot of microplastics. And we're taking in a lot every year, and they're very difficult for us to get rid of. So if you drink out of coffee cups is a big deal, like from Starbucks. If you heat up your food in plastic containers, this is a problem. All right. Lifestyle issues, you don't move, you don't sleep, and you're overstressed. They're real classic ones, but they do cause a lot of these issues. Sedentary lifestyle is a killer. And that's even for a lot of you guys who train every day, but spend the rest of the day sat in front of a computer. That's a problem. Like if you're training for 45 minutes to an hour a day, and then you're getting 3,000 steps elsewhere, basically just to go to the fridge or the toilet, that's causing an issue for you. Step count, and then you can see that Matt Orban's out there getting his steps in, is so important to long-term health. Poor sleep, we'll touch on it a little bit, right? Psychological stress. I feel like I know you guys aren't on every single call with me, but if someone was on from my first call to this one, they must feel like I'm beating them over the head with some of this stuff. But like poor sleep, psychological stress just play into everything. Now, non-resolving inflammation is a major driver of disease, right? All the major diseases that you can think of, this is one of the major causes because it damages tissue and then necrosis can produce inflammation. So it just goes in a cycle and continues on and on and on. Now, back to the better things. What can you guys do in order to resolve these problems? Movement and what are called myokines are huge factors in this. And this is some of the newer research that's out there because I would have always talked about nutrition and I always would have talked about like standard movement and avoiding pollutants and all those things and stressful environments. But actually, contraction of muscle is huge. We release signaling molecules from our muscles when we lift weights, right? Or when we do high intensity things. And they are amazing at suppressing inflammation. We want some, and I spoke about this, like we want a hormetic effect from training. It's important. We need something that we can adapt to, just enough, not too much. But myokines seem to have this systemic effect where they tend to dampen inflammation everywhere. And it could be some of the reason why we feel so good post-training. It's a little bit to do with that, and it's a little bit to do with some of the endorphins that are released at the same time. But you guys aren't just here to get big and jacked. This is a longevity endeavor, guys. Big time. Having muscle mass controls inflammation and allows you to live a long and prosperous life. Is probably the most important part of that. We're in the longevity game. We're not just here to live a long time. We want to be feel good into our later years. And having enough muscle mass seems to be really key to that. So it's not something that you should be dipping in and out of. This should be a lifetime pursuit to accumulate muscle. Again, feel like I'm beating people over the head with this, but sleep is where a lot of inflammation is resolved because it is that time for recuperation, rest, recovery, and rejuvenation. And the more I speak with clients, the more I notice the ones that don't sleep adequately seem to show symptoms of what you would perceive as inflammation. So you see them that those that hold a lot of water, so they'll get like edema around their ankles, around their wrists. They have skin issues and they have other compounding issues that tend to come with that. So consider if it's a sleep problem, if you just don't prioritize it, fine, just prioritize it. Simple-ish approach. If it's an issue with your sleep, that has to be something that we can do a whole thing on sleep and methods to improve it. But think about it. You start firstly, what can you do at nighttime, right? So remove yourself from television. It's not relaxing. Remove yourself from blue screens. You've finished work 2 hours before, finished television an hour before. Do something that down regulates your nervous system. So, whether that's hot exposure, whether that's meditation, whether it's breath work, whether it's sex, whatever it is, something that relaxes you and allows you to go to sleep. Then, other things like supplements can be taken into consideration. So, whether it's magnesium, melatonin, phosphatidylserine, these things that help lower or dampen your nervous system, lower cortisol, and help you go to sleep, right? So those things can be used. If you're still having issues, then you've got to think about the morning beforehand. So you've got to make an entire day a day endeavor, right? So first thing in the morning, getting morning sun exposure is huge. It regulates our circadian rhythm, which allows us to produce cortisol first thing in the morning, melatonin last thing before bed, right? For a lot of people, you find the circadian rhythm is swapped around. And I'm sure a lot of you have been through this, exhausted in the morning, wired and tired in the evening. We need to get that back in order. And one way to do it is first thing in the morning, light exposure, literally 5 minutes of vigorous exercise. I don't advise burpees because God wants to do burpees, but even just a minute of burpees with some sun exposure can be really beneficial. Eating first thing in the morning also regulates circadian rhythm, but not with the use of carbohydrates. It's generally with the use of protein and fat. Okay, so there's loads of different modalities that you guys can use to improve sleep, but you actually just have to do it. It's not like other things. We all love to do the weightlifting and that kind of stuff, but sometimes creating sleep routines is a little bit more difficult for a lot of us. Now, diet will obviously play one of the major roles in this. The only point I wanted to put across with diet is don't get drawn into dietary dogma, right? A diet that works for you at one stage in your life may not be the ideal diet for you later on. So if you are currently trying to drop 30 pounds of body weight, yeah, possibly low carbohydrate, carnivore, ketogenic, whatever it is, can be beneficial in that circumstance and really beneficial for you. But when you're really lean and you're thinking about performance, carbohydrates generally have to not have to be, but should be used in that circumstance to drive performance. The problem that we find in the dietary sphere is people pick corners. They found the thing that worked for them at a certain period in their life, and now that is their diet. It's what they promote, it's what they give to everybody, it's what they advise to everybody. Do not get stuck into dietary dogma, okay? Things will change, but think anti-inflammatory diet, right? Remove the foods out of your diet that we know cause inflammation. So whether that's processed food, whether that is alcohol, whether it is for some people, it could be food triggers, it could be gluten, it could be dairy, it could be certain things that you know you do not respond well to. I eat that food, I get itchy, for example, is it like a histamine response? I eat that food, I get tired. Probably a sign that you're either having it's either a food trigger or it's causing your blood sugar to go too high, right? Finding the ideal diet for you now is really important. If you have digestive issues, this is one of the overarching things that you tend to see people with chronic inflammation is dysbiosis. So like an imbalance in the bacteria in your gut, it needs to be fixed. Most of the time, it can be done with simple probiotics and dietary approaches. Sometimes you need more strenuous approaches to solve a dysbiotic gut. But if you've got issues within your gut and they're not solved, that is something that will cause inflammation for the entirety that it's there. You'll get these bad bacteria, they're constantly causing pathogen-associated molecular patterns. They're leaking out into systemic circulation and causing issues everywhere. So dysbiosis is one. If you are someone who still has a lot of visceral fat, you've got to lose it. It's so important. Visceral fat just being the deep lying. So it's traditionally, it's much more common in men. So we see it as the beer belly, right? So belly sticks out, but you can't really grab it. That's a real clear sign of visceral fat. Because it has its, like, it literally releases what are called adipokines. And these inflammatory markers just draw on the immune system and just cause unresolved inflammation. It has, like, it's something that you, like, as we probably do as people watchers, we look around and we see how the world is now. And there's so many people walking around with massive amounts of visceral fat. Blood sugar kind of interlinks with that. So, like, if you're noticing that, you go back to the call that we did last week if you want to go through that in more detail. But if you've got fluctuating blood sugar, it's going to cause inflammation for you. Once you've solved those issues, and supplements can feed into those, we've got a whole protocol of an anti-inflammatory supplement approach that you guys will have access to. But like the traditional things, like omega-3, man, like it's huge for people, especially people who don't eat fish. It's something that is really, really beneficial. Like the stuff that you see out there, curcumin, resveratrol, all great, black cumin seed oil, N-acetylcysteine, glutathione, all these things that are anti-inflammatory or have antioxidants in them. Stuff like green tea extract can be really beneficial as well. These things can be used in conjunction with the other approaches. But if you have one big underlying issue that I mentioned, and you're not trying to solve that. The food testing service that gives you a rundown of what works with your spit. I'll touch on that, Des. That's a good question. And yeah, sorry, and you can use those supplements, but the other things have to be solved at the same time. Okay. Just supplemental approaches will not do this for you. I hope that makes sense, guys. And now we may discuss. I'll go over Des's question first. A food testing service that gives you a rundown of what works with your specific body. So the only thing that I can think of, like you see some of the stuff out there based off, and I'm not particularly skilled on it, so I don't want to give too much information, but people talk about genetic testing for it. I don't know how beneficial that is going to be, because when we look at genetic components to these things, it might tell us what nutrients in particular that we need based off those SNPs, based off those genetic problems. But I don't know how it's going to break down macros. Also, you can use like sensitivity testing. But I would own, there's only one particular brand that they use in research that is supposed to be a benefit. It's called ELISA testing, ELISA. I'm sure. That's actually accredited and recognized. The rest of it is a little bit so-so. Now, they have done research on people using those tests and getting them to follow diets based off those tests. They don't seem to get too much benefit from them. So I don't normally give people food sensitivity tests, but it could be one way you could look at it.
Thanks, Greg.
No probs. Okay. Has anybody else got any questions or anything that they want to go through in particular? It doesn't have to be based off what we just went through.
Actually, I do, Greg. I have two items.
Go ahead, sir.
One is around that I've had a question around timing, really of post nutrition. So like I've researched like there's like optimal timing of like your post nutrition shake and all your food, your consumption of protein, carbs, and like observing that anabolic hour after you work out. So I'm just trying to understand like what's like the optimal timing? I'm sure there might be, it might be nuanced and circumstantial, but I don't know, what's your feedback there?
Within 2 hours is normally fine, genuinely. So the anabolic window was, like Andrew's been in this industry for a long time as well. The anabolic window used to be that thing where like we had to take in nutrients like the second that we finished training. That doesn't really seem to be the case. So like normally, as long as you get protein within a couple of hours, that's normally about right. And in terms of the carbohydrate side of things, that does become a little bit more complicated, because technically we don't take up carbohydrates particularly well after we train. People used to speak about like becoming more insulin sensitive, and it doesn't actually seem to be the case after we train. So maybe dumping a load of carbohydrates on yourself after you train isn't ideal. Maybe just spacing them out throughout the rest of the day.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. And then my other is around sleep optimization. That's such a huge component. And for me personally, it's been a big challenge, a big struggle. I just turned 40 and I've reprioritized sleep in my life. And when I was younger, 20s and even 30s, I worked hard, play hard, would consistently sleep 5.5, 6 hours a night, live my lifestyle, and I'd be perfectly fine. But then it's caught up with me, and now I'm a huge proponent of prioritizing sleep. So I've incorporated, you know, at night, really trying to activate my parasympathetic system before going to bed. So no screens, phones at all after dinner, or blue light blockers. I stop eating 2, 2.5 hours before dinner. Magnesium, reishi, ashwagandha before, and then something that I introduced about 2 years ago that really improved was actually buying an Uller system. So to cool my bed, and I've always been like, I hated cold. I've always wanted to be warm. I've always ran cold, so I always wanted to be warm. But then I learned the science about triggering your deep sleep when you're in a colder state and all of that. So I got the Uller, loved it, sleep improved, and then my Uller broke. And then Chili doesn't make parts for the Uller anymore. So I'm just curious, everyone's take. Is anyone familiar with like 8Sleep or other different systems or even the Chili Dock Pro? And if you have any sort of testimonials on those systems, I'm looking to upgrade or to change.
Well, it's a really good point actually that I didn't mention, so thanks for bringing it up. Is like cool temperatures is actually ideal for sleep. And I don't know anything off the top of my head in terms of ways that, like, because I don't actually know what was the was it like a cooler mattress that you use? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's called Uller is what I used to have, and it's essentially a mattress topper that's hydronically cooled by a system. And it came out, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and they stopped making that. Now that company has a different system, but then there's competitors like 8Sleep is a really popular one. It's promoted by like Huberman and several others. And it's essentially the same thing where it's a topper that you put on your mattress pad under your sheets, and it hydronically cools to certain temperatures, and it could do different stages, and you can cool it and then heat it up as a warm awakening in the morning. It's pretty sophisticated, and I love it.
I'll ask. I don't actually know what's ideal, but it's something that I can definitely reach out to people and ask about.
I've been using something called a bed jet
The
and
bed.
fat or bin. Bed jet. And it was heated or cooled air under the sheets. And in humid condition, humid climate, it works way better than just having a cooler mattress, because it actually moves the air around and gets your body temperature down, and you can warm yourself up when it's time to wake up.
Okay.
Made in the USA.
Bed
Bed
jet.
jet. BEDJET.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
You're
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Matt. Was
Cool.
that everything?
Thank you.
No props. Has anybody got any questions that they want to go through?
Hey, Greg. I was going to ask, you mentioned in regard to sleep, the importance of eating in the morning to kind of help with getting that AM cortisol. So I was curious with that and just in regard to inflammation in general, what are your thoughts on, trying to do intermittent fasting or time restricted feeding and skipping breakfast?
I have no issues with intermittent fasting in of itself, or figuring out which skipping which meal works best for you. So if your sleep is adequate at the moment and you're getting good enough sleep, it wouldn't be necessarily something I'd be concerned about. The only time I would kind of initiate making someone eat breakfast is when I'm trying to reestablish circadian rhythm in somebody, because we are ingrained to a certain extent to eat most of our food for morning and lunch, and then it should trail off as the day goes on. And eating at the exact same time every single day is ideal for circadian rhythm. So otherwise, like, if you find that skipping breakfast and eating just lunch and dinner for intermittent fasting for fat loss works for you and you still sleep, I wouldn't be against that idea at all.
Nothing. Thanks.
Anybody else, guys?
Hey Greg, this is Josh. I had
Hey.
not Michael from when I was on last night. Whatever. You mentioned at the beginning, you said the cytokine storm. How does the cytokine storm occur? And I was trying to get my camera and everything online, and I lost some audio. So if you can you just briefly touch that, or did you cover that? And I can because I can watch it again if you did.
Yeah, so I covered it in the sense that the cytokine storm is generally just the reoccurrence of inflammation over and over again. So I went through that at the very beginning, where we don't get resolution and the problem just reoccurs and reoccurs, and it can amplify over time if the problem's not solved.
That's okay. All right. I've got it. I was taking notes and I had those notes, but I didn't have them associated with anything yet. So that was it. That's awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, Josh. We good, gents? Last chance.
Greg, I'll throw one at you. You've
Go ahead.
obviously looked at probably countless blood work at this point, and you and I have had a couple conversations. Inflammation is obviously kind of this ambiguous term as it relates to everything, right? But is there anything that you've kind of seen just from the sheer volume of looking at blood work as far as people from the States, people in the UK, as it relates to inflammation, or even maybe like a more specific question past that is, at face value, we all know like lifestyle needs to be in order. But is there anything specific on your end that you're looking at as far as blood work, things that kind of pop out for people to pay attention to?
That's a good question. So the problem with, and I love just standard blood tests. I find them extremely helpful above a lot of the fancy functional stuff that you can get out there. I like some of the fancy functional stuff depending on what you're trying to solve. But like the problem with low grade inflammation, it doesn't necessarily always present on a blood test. So you have like the real traditional stuff like CRP and ESR and these markers of inflammation on a blood test, but they tend to only get elevated with acute infection. The couple of things that you do see, and this is what a lot of guys don't get checked anymore, is you'll see a marker called ferritin. Ferritin is generally thought of as iron storage, but realistically, it's an acute phase reactant. So the body starts to sequester iron because there's some sort of inflammatory process going on. Because when you feed iron into that, it's called the Fenton reaction, it'll just make the problem worse and worse. So I always like guys to get ferritin checked. One other thing that you tend to see in chronic inflammation is low white blood cells or low neutrophils. I know Muhammad has chronically low neutrophils, but his is actually a genetic problem. I went after his white blood cells for about 6 months and I didn't make a single dent in them.
Try to keep it interesting for you folks.
Yeah, always. So yeah, like gents, if you're looking for inflammatory markers, always get your immune system checked. So like white blood cells, neutrophils, lymphocytes, really beneficial. But for guys in particular, you got to get your iron done and your iron stores done, because unlike females, we don't bleed every month. So the likelihood of iron overload for us is an awful lot higher, because women are much more likely to get anemia. We're much more likely to get iron overload, especially if anyone is using testosterone or testosterone replacement. Anybody else?
Time to fix your circadian rhythm,
please. I have to go to bed. All right, guys. Thank you all very much. It's always a pleasure. And I'll speak.